explosions, drone shots, a big dog, and a very impaled child. Michael Bay is back, baby! We saw Ambulance, so you know what that means.
Show with Nick Crow and take a bubble speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul, and the beautiful June. Gonna take you from the boom all the way to the room. Renegade, the street fighter, help to blow off steam. Just a sucker punch the eye life of Timothy Green. Shot me in the bird demic, how we staying alive? They call me when they're badass and he's on the line. Cranking 88 minutes cause they cool as ice. Cause the bad Jim Barney looking kinda nice. All in June getting little, well, Jason is getting laid. June is making sure all the
our home in Los Angeles and the home of this film, Ambulance, or Ambulance. I don't know how you're supposed to pronounce it, but this movie is Los Angeles. This is what it's like on a day in, day out basis. Vendors in the street being run over constantly. All these confetti vendors just killed willy-nilly. This movie came out just a little while ago in 2022, and if you want to know what it's about, if you feel like you want a little refresher, here it is. Robbery, goes bad, escapes an ambulance. That's it. There's a lot more going on, but that's all you need to know is Michael Bay saw heat, was like, how about I take that 45 minutes and go, I'll double it. And that's what we did. 2 hours and 16 minutes. It is a full-on chase film. I think there's maybe about 5 minutes when they're not in the ambulance, and that is about it. We are rocking. We are rolling. It may be Michael Bay's best movie in years. I loved it. So spoiler alert there, but we are going to break it down in every conceivable way, and we're going to do that with my co-host. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Jason Manzoukas!
A movie and talk about The Rock and Bad Boys? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. All right, here
there
we go.
There is a part of me that doesn't even believe that Michael Bay made those movies. Like, he's like, oh, I forgot about those.
Yeah.
So much shit goes on in my life.
What I love.
That I, like, yeah, I heard Bad Boys is fucking great.
No, that's the thing is, Michael Bay's interested in making movies that acknowledge that his authorship has created things that people in pop culture, or people in culture need to talk about.
I will say this.
Cops being like, let's get out of the car Bad Boys style. That's what they're saying, so here we go.
I'm excited because, you know, we know she loves a plane movie, but does she love an ambulance movie? Please welcome my other co-host, June Diane Raphael. Hi, June, how are you?
I am well. How are you, Paul?
Very good. Now, June, we did not watch this movie together. We watched it separately in the same house. We
were about 20 and on minutes. Different platforms.
Yes. I told her, don't buy it. It's on Amazon for free. But you did buy it.
I did.
Already owned it.
June, where do you fall on Michael Bay? I mean, I ask that sincerely because I don't know if I know.
Yeah, I find his movies to be ridiculous. I mean, I do, and
I think he does as well.
Yeah. But I don't think I've ever watched a Michael Bay movie this closely.
Right. With a pen in hand.
Yes, with a pen in hand, taking copious notes. So this was a different experience. And, you know, I know our guests will have a lot to say about it, but this is a very long movie.
It is long.
I guess that's my question. Are all
of
his movies
not long enough?
One could argue.
Bad Boys 2 really pushed the limits. I think that was like 245.
Wow.
And yeah, they can be long. They can be definitely long. But you know what? But they feel like they just go by in a blink of an eye.
Is that the t-shirt?
Michael Bay movies, they may be long, but they go by in a blink of an eye. And it's like out of focus because a drone shot it.
Not enough drones.
Los Angeles, we are very excited tonight because we have an amazing guest. She is a writer. She is a professor. She's an editor. She's a social commenter, a podcaster, the author of the New York Times best-selling essay collection, Bad Feminist, a memoir called Hunger. Please welcome Roxane Gay.
Let it be known.
All right, shout out lesbians.
Let it be known, people in the audience stood for Roxane Gay's introduction.
Nobody's ever stood.
The first time anybody's ever stood at this show.
For anyone on this show.
When we weren't walking out.
But Roxane, I feel like, you know, I've seen you on Twitter. I talk about your love of movies like this. Like, this is,
to be
this
clear,
is kind of in your wheelhouse.
I mean, to be clear, Roxane right chose up my this movie.
I picked this movie.
Yeah, yes. This is all
because
Roxane.
It's a classic. And last night I went to rewatch it and I was going to rent it because I did not know about the Amazon
hookup. Amazon Prime.
And I already owned it. So.
Both of us.
I mean, we know quality. It is what it is. I love a Michael Bay movie because, like, the more ridiculous shit he does, like, did you notice that normally in a movie they'll put, like, LAPD on the cars,
right.
But they, like, stenciled police on the cars, and I was just like, I'm gonna cry. This is so amazing. No affiliation. Just police.
Ambulance, police.
Also, CNN, they just cut off one of the final legs, so it was the exact same font, but they turned into CM. There is so much stuff like that throughout.
Details here, the homage to Point Break with the guy that got run over.
By the way, I thought that was...
Holy shit.
I thought
and
that was...
I'm sorry. Are you talking about Birkenstock Trent?
Yes. And he's missing
my
body
favorite
parts.
Character of the movie.
I was like, oh my God, yes. Point Break was so good.
And he goes, what'd you do to my legs? Come on.
And you get to see his leg at a fucked up angle and a little Birkenstock hanging from it. And then the guy's like, you should have worn real shoes.
And here's the thing about that sequence, because at first I was like... I did, when the Birkenstocks came up, I was thinking to myself, those are dangerous shoes.
Especially for you, doing crime.
To do crime, but also to just be a civilian walking around the world. Like, I've been in Birkenstocks, and I've been unsafe in them. And so, when he died via Birkenstock,
I was like, this is an important... You're going to get run over. I was convinced that guy was Matt Damon. I thought that was Matt Damon doing a character.
Wow.
Because he looked, to me, just like I was like, this guy is like, he had a little bit of a Matt Damon look.
And what Bay gets is that there needs to be a Birkenstock Trent. There needs to be in the crew a guy who's just a complete weirdo, who's wearing Birkenstocks, who gets crushed, and the other guy comes up and he goes, you crushed him, bro! And he goes, who cares? The driver goes, who cares? And he goes, he was at your wedding! This movie rules!
Well,
he
and
was
then
at
like,
your wedding!
Karma got him like 3 seconds later.
Sure did.
He was like blown into bits. It was amazing. And then he was so extra, like Italian man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was like, the traffic here is Stugatz.
Where's my mama's cannoli?
It's like, oh, this gabagool is getting me crazy.
Literally every stereotype you can imagine about a sort of...
God.
Unwashed, extremely arrogant Italian man all put together in a beautiful lasagna.
And I will
and then
say,
shot in the head.
Hey, it's got to be the sauce. There was something interesting. Like, you do meet all these characters for one time, and then they all
and
get killed.
Only.
It is like the final act of a heist movie is the first act of this film.
But every one of them is distinct.
Yes.
And I'm heartbroken when each one of, like, heartbroken, cried. Okay, yeah. I cried multiple times?
Jason.
I cried multiple times in this movie? What? Well done, Michael Bay.
I will say that I feel like this is a COVID movie. This movie was shot during COVID, and I believe this is Michael Bay going, fuck it, I'll make a low-budget movie. And, like, it has an energy like that, like you were saying. It's like, it was like, well, just put police on it. We don't have time. And it's like,
do you think that Michael Bay was sent a script, and the writer of the script was like, you know how Michael Bay will do this movie? Is if the characters in the movie, who are cool, are constantly referencing Michael Bay movies. The movie is like putting Michael Bay as elevating Bay. And part of me is like, he was like, fuck yeah, I'll do this.
So basically, just a little backstory, just to put it in the world, this movie was fast track because Michael Bay was going to shoot another movie, and then they were like, no, we can't do it because of COVID. He's like, what can we do? Let's do something fast. And the fast, fast, fast is the quote. Let's do something fast, fast, fast. So there was a remake. This is a remake, this film. No. Based on the 2005 Danish feature
Ambulance,
written and directed by Loritas Munich Petersen. And Michael Bay proudly claims, never watched it.
By the way, that's so that he can never be sued. Truly, I think that's probably so he can't be sued if
you are giving him so much credit.
I mean, why would he be able to sue? He's basing it's an adaptation. He shouldn't be sued.
I don't think he could be.
And a lot of the plot points that don't make sense are things that are stolen or that are from the original film, but he didn't watch it,
so he has no context.
Yeah.
What do you think doesn't make sense in this movie?
Well, I'll get into that later because I feel like we should like bring the audience in to how we meet all of our characters. Because it starts a little bit like Love Actually. We're seeing a lot of duos, like
by the way,
all gonna connect.
Another top 10.
But we open up with this scene of our character Will, who lays out all of his exposition over a phone. And I've been on the phone with a lot of people, with customer service representatives, and never have they said, I have to take a coffee break and hang up. I didn't know that was part of the equation.
Oh, but she did say, have a nice day.
Yeah.
Which, classy.
The movie does an incredible job of setting up each set of... The movie has, I'm going to say conservatively, 56 main characters. And sets them all up in a way that I'm like, yep, I'm on board.
Well, it's so interesting because, like, when I pulled back after watching it or toward the very end, I was like, oh, this is a movie about what happens when you've been put on hold for too long. Like, that all of a sudden was, like, very clear to me. And I was like, got it.
That sets him up. You have so much sympathy for the man who is on hold trying to get health care insurance provided for his sick wife, so that when he goes out into the world and becomes a person who is committing horrible crimes, you are still on Will's side so hard.
Yes, but the best part is that we don't know why. We just know that she needs experimental surgery. And then it's like in the last half hour, we find out that she has cancer.
Yeah.
But what kind doesn't matter.
So doesn't matter.
Cancer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This movie's all broad strokes.
It's really true.
We're not drilling down at all.
At one point, like before he said she had cancer, I was like, is this a cosmetic surgery? Like, we simply don't know.
But the only reason I didn't think it was BBL is because of the $231,000 price.
She's having the buckle fat removed from her face.
I don't know.
But we meet Will and I do think that this idea, like, I like everybody that we meet, and we are on the side of the bad guys for the most, like there are good guys, but they're the villains in a weird way. Like every time you cut to the good guys, we're not rooting for them. Like we are following the bad guys.
Oh, this is a story in which the protagonists are the villains.
Yes. Yeah.
Like I think absolutely. And Will, Yahya Abdul-Mateen is just a straight up movie star.
Yeah.
Like he is electric to watch. In a way that is like, without him, I don't know that the movie works because he is so, you are so with him in a way that he's committing horrible acts all the time. Civilian deaths in this movie must be in the triple digits.
Also,
but they're like, we
got
this
like
one problem.
But there's no consequences for any
zero.
None of it. But what I couldn't understand is that there's so much weight put on the life of a police officer in this movie, and the fact that the life of one police officer is at risk in this ambulance, although they never seem to like try to stop to get to a hospital or like just see if it's on the way. But they have killed in the past 2.5 hours, I would say 100 cops.
And, well, that's it.
And five, like, they, and like, 500
at a civilians. Point, it's got outweigh.
But yeah. He's a rookie. He's only been out of the academy for 3 weeks.
Oh, of course, he's just a babe.
Can I ask this though? Is this guy, this cop, is Beck? He a little bit of a creep? Because, yeah. Right, like, he's going in to, like, kind of force a flirt with a girl, like a woman like, who works at the bank.
And she's at her job, and her boss is right there, and this fucking idiot is like, I kind of want to ask you out, but I'm too much of a douche to do it on my own, so my friend had to blackmail me into it, and I know that this is your place of work, and I don't want you coming to my place of work to impose your needs on me, but...
And also, like, I have a gun. I have a loaded gun.
And in his uniform. This motherfucker couldn't even, like, put on some goddamn sweatpants and go, oh. It's called gray sweatpants. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I did find that to be an odd way into this character because, like, his motivation is, like, I don't like you. I don't like
that's the thing. I think Bay is doing a very, like, delicate dance here because
this is the first time anybody's accused Michael Bay. First time in history. For the man whose signature style is known as Bayhem. True story.
But I do think that he wants us to care about that cop's life, but also be okay that Will shot him and that he might die. So it's, I will give credit to Bay where it's due.
And there seems to be, they're trying to posit this idea that, oh, if the cop dies, then you've killed a cop, so you're going to go away. You're going to get the death penalty or whatever. That's it.
Yeah, but then
they anecdotally just throughout, kill multiple cops, a million civilians, and they're like, oh, we're crushing it, bro. Let's listen to Christopher Cross and sing along. What? Why? What
when
is
that
happening?
Moment comes up, if you told me, oh, and in the middle of the movie, the two lead characters in the middle of a killing spree will use that to listen to like yacht rock to relax.
Yes.
I almost want to play it, but I feel like we'll get to it in a little bit. Because I also want to talk about our
also,
paramedic.
If you don't mind me just saying, if your wife needs experimental surgery and you need, what does he say, 260 grand or something like
231.
That? 231.
Sell. Thank you, Roxanne.
It imprinted on me.
Oh, yeah.
A weird number.
Sell your Bronco. Here's the thing. You've got a Bronco that is so pristine. You could put it on... Bring a trailer right now, and
sell
it's going to sell for a lot. That's my first move.
Well,
and I love that everybody's introduction scene is like, he wants to help his wife. We have the EMT saves the impaled that you referenced earlier.
Okay,
the impaled child.
Lindsay?
But just even that the paramedic, we, at first I'm like, wait, what? All right, so they're at a scene of a crime. And when they reveal that child is impaled,
wow!
I was shocked. I was like,
they don't shy away at all.
I know. I was like, a child.
And then I was like, how? Like, how did it happen? Then I was like, because it was like, did it? I don't even know what she hit.
Yeah.
Because
offense,
it's like it seems like she drove through a sculpture, but like it came in through the back of the car.
That's what happens in a Michael Bay car accident. is a wrought iron fence, 12-foot fence, can go inside the car and into a little girl. And I love that she goes, "Is it still there?" What? And he doesn't shy away from showing it at all.
I have to say, this movie was surprisingly graphic in the best possible way. Like, there was nothing, like, no amount of blood, gore, viscera was too much. And I respect that. I do. Like, thank you, Michael Bay.
And I want to say something else about Michael Bay. And I guess this is a Michael Bay appreciation podcast. But I'm going to say that, because there are times where I thought, oh, this movie is, like, sponsored or funded by the U.S. Army or the LAPD.
Yeah,
right? But and yet, it's like, well, there's so much reverence for this vet. And even when he's, even when those trauma doctors are talking to him, they call him sir. You know, there's so much reverence for him. And yet also, it's such an indictment on, like, healthcare and our veterans.
And how we treat veterans.
Absolutely. It's like, that's the reason for the season. That's why we're on this journey.
But you know what? That's also a huge plot hole. I mean, we all know that veterans are treated like shit after being treated like shit in service of their country. But, like, he doesn't have any benefits?
That's what I wanted to drill down on it. I'm like, this could be the wrong number you've called.
But yeah. Also...
because I do think... and that's what made me
think... because he clearly wasn't calling
Roxanne.
The VA.
She's like, no, sir, this is like, this is Spectrum, sir.
And I was also like, this
must
order, be...
I didn't order the digital HD package. I don't have $49.99.
My wife needs a surgery. Sir, we will give you ESPN.
And then I thought, well, this must be elective.
Well, and then the wife just believes him that even though she listened to the phone call.
Yeah, she was right there.
She was right there. And then she's like, oh, thank you for being a man. Yeah.
Yes.
And honestly, I would thank him too for being a man because he is well put together.
Hats off. But he's like, doing fine acting.
Girl, come on. You heard that man just get turned down. You heard it. You heard it.
But
he
literally said,
wait, you're hanging up on me? You're going on a coffee break? Like, we didn't hear that. He said it.
I know. But you know what he did, though?
And we see her listening. We get to see her listening.
But then what happens?
I know, but she's literally invested as
she's don't use the shot.
She's listening to the baby. Like, she's right there.
By the way, I feel like this movie represents how Michael Bay listens. Yeah. Like, right? It's sort of like, of course she didn't understand it. He's on the phone. She's not fucking listening. She's got other things going on. It's like he's not, like, he's like, he doesn't listen to anyone within earshot.
Well, I will say that he then, right after that conversation, he does that breathing exercise with her that we then gets called back later in the movie. And I was like, I think any of us on the stage, if he turned to us and asked us to breathe with him, we would fall into some sort of a fugue state.
I will,
and
if he came here, I would be in his thrall.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so I was
he
like,
is
oh, okay.
So compelling, it's shocking.
Yeah. Yes.
But then he goes to visit his idiot brother.
Holy
oh,
shit.
My
That's
God.
That's never explained, ever. We just see these like little vignettes in the same style as Armageddon. And I'm sorry, but I'll go deep on Michael Bay. You don't even know how deep I can go. And
I just watched Pain and Gain 2 weeks
ago. Why doesn't he steal like three of the brothers' cars?
I was so confused about what was going on here. So Jake Gyllenhaal, which we'll get into.
Put a pin in him for the moment.
He seems to be working at Jay Leno's garage.
Or Jerry Seinfeld's. One of the two.
Or Jerry Seinfeld.
One of the two.
So, but is he like the assistant to a very famous person? Like, is that
no,
like
he is? No, that's those his. Cars are. He guards those cars that are valuable.
Right.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait.
Yeah.
Wait.
He just guards this rich
he's
man's
He's a babysitter
garage.
For cars?
I think Jake Gyllenhaal's legit business is he has a like secure garage for famous people's expensive cars that he and his guys watch. And his guys are like all
what do you
the
mean,
assassins.
Watch?
I know, but his staff isn't like they're not bright.
No, no. Most of them are from season 3 of Bosch.
But then he also
these nerds get it. If you also want to see great LA stuff, Bosch baby. That's what they call
so
me.
So you're
the boss,
saying
baby.
That he's essentially like a personal assistant to a rich person?
No, no. I don't think those are all a single person's car.
Well, hold
I
on. Think,
oh, go ahead.
Because there's a moment when he shows up the Keurig. He goes, I got my
this
boss to
what?
Get me one of these. Like he said, it wasn't like I bought this. He's like, I talked to the boss and he got me a Keurig. Like, and it's not and a then, fancy thing.
Not
it's
only
like
that.
A, I know, because him, like a Keurig is like 100 and
maybe, right? Yeah, you go on Amazon, maybe like on Prime Day, you're going to get like
gives him a coffee.
$70. Yeah.
He gives him a coffee and he goes, good coffee, isn't it? Like they drill down on the Keurig coffee.
Yeah.
Like he's got an intelligentsia barista.
And also, they've never had Keurig coffee before.
Yeah.
Like, stop. Well,
that's again what this movie feels like. Michael Bay has never been on hold. Jake Gyllenhaal has never had Keurig coffee. Like there's just a couple of things. It's like, that's what people do. They love this fucking pods. Like, you know, like they like it's a warped sense of
but,
like reality.
But Jake Gyllenhaal, in my opinion, is doing a Michael Bay impression in this movie. The radical, sharp enthusiasm is all Bay.
I wrote down a couple things that we should know about.
Let me make you a coffee. Let me get you a coffee. Hey, let me get you a coffee. Now, here you go. Isn't this coffee fucking amazing? Isn't this coffee fucking amazing? That's Michael Bay.
I think you're I right.
I met the man.
I wrote down a couple of things that we know about Danny from, or Daniel, that we know from what he tells us. Likes to be called Danny. Is a nice guy. Has herpes.
Incredible line. Incredible line.
We don't judge.
Yeah,
we
don't judge. Loves cashmere. Hates guns. Is nearsighted. And loves Christopher Cross. I'm on board with this guy, ultimately.
And his intro, everybody's intro, the garage door slowly going up while he's walking in. I mean, everybody gets movie star introductions that are phenomenal, saving lives. The first time I cried was when the little girl goes, I can be brave.
Boom.
Boom. It's like,
really?
I want to show this moment. I just want to show this moment. This is the moment where the plan is laid out. Will goes to visit Danny, and it just happens to be on the day that this is happening, right? So, and the camera moves in this.
Not only the day, but the exact time.
Yeah, the moments. It seems like if he was like 10 minutes late, he would have missed this whole thing.
So much so that all the rest of the guys are like, is this the guy? So they already know he's expected.
And I know that, you know, it's a podcast,
so
for people who are listening, imagine listening to this scene and you're on a roller coaster because the shots are insane.
First Federal downtown, $32 million. I have this wired.
No banks hold $32 million.
I know, it's a one-off. But fuck up because the feds are vacuuming up paper, but I need another man. Four inside, one driver. Feds are moving it out tonight after hours. We get in there now, it's ours.
Oh, jeez.
It's ours.
Danny.
What's going on?
I came to you for a loan. Maybe a small job at
look,
the least.
All
not
right,
this.
Look, I don't have it. Everything I have is tied up in this score, right? And it's tight. Look, I need your help. I can't do this alone. I need you. I can't do this with Mel Gibson. I can't do it.
Is this the guy? I'm not stupid.
Yeah. Neither am I. Dad was a fucking psycho. I know that. You know that. Even the FBI knows that. But I'm not him. Look, have I ever gotten you anything that I couldn't get you out of? Anything? No.
Yes.
The guns are for. Hey, the guns are for. Come on. What do you want me to say? What are we gonna do? Can we please have some? We're gonna fake it? No. We have real guns. It's just for protection. You know how it works. We're not cowboys. We're not shooting anything up. This is my job. Come on. We do this in our sleep.
Danny, it's wrong.
All right. 1 second. Look, we got 5 minutes, and I need to know whether you're in or out. You're my brother. I love you. I will do anything for you, and all I'm asking is for you to do this one little thing for me. And now you're here, on my doorstep, asking me for help. And what am I giving you? I am giving you the world!
That is, and there we go, that's the premise.
How was this not nominated?
I mean, as we enter the Oscars, with all of those supposed Oscar films, it's right there, cinema. Come on.
I love whatever Jake Gyllenhaal has, I don't even know if he's decided, but he's just, every performance is like, he's like, I'm just going for it. Like, I'm going for it in interesting directions, whether it's, you know, a low-budget indie or this. It's like, I feel like he is ready to go. And it's like, and maybe it works and maybe it doesn't. I'm all in. I like this character.
I love it. I love his performance. I love everything he's doing. My only question is, can I play this part? Put me in as the unhinged brother of a guy who's going, just the low budget version of this. Well, I can't do this because this is too big, but let me do crazy guy on this level, please.
I'm saying is that Jake Gyllenhaal's acting is so good that when he puts on a mask that obscures all of his face,
yes,
the eyes are even showing. It's like, when you look at his eyes, they're like, wow, yeah. I didn't even know his eyes were that big.
This is, wait, June, are you seeing this? Like, that's a real still from the film.
That's not a cartoon.
Those aren't prosthetic eyes.
Like, it is next level.
Oh, my God.
Now, that's only...
Oh, my God.
We've only talked about 4 of the 90 characters.
Okay, so they're all men, except for our lead lady.
Yep.
To the point where I was like... Could one of the trauma doctors be a woman? Like,
doctors on the golf course?
Yes.
On the golf course. I was obsessed with everyone and everyone's introduction, the FBI agent, and how we met him, which was wild.
Garrett Dillahunt? Oh, no, no. In therapy.
Yes.
In therapy.
In therapy, and him saying that he was his husband was an environmental lawyer. And
so they live at the
to leave on the beach.
Where you, all environmental lawyers
go. I was obsessed with it all.
He gets a text that just says massive bank robbery in downtown LA.
Yes.
Like, yes. That text is worse than the texts in open marriage.
I mean, it's from an unknown number and it's just like, bam.
He's just like, daddy's got to go to work.
And I don't even, by the way, this is another part of it. There seems to be 3 teams working this. It's like, we got LAPD or just regular police.
SIS, that's Garrett Dillahunt's group.
And then is Garrett Dillahunt's group also, they think that they're tracking Brooklyn bank robbers? Because that's why they were outside the bank.
That I could not understand.
But they're not Brooklyn bank robbers. They're the LA bank robbers.
This really scrambled me for a minute because they're staking out the bank thinking a group of criminals are going to rob that bank that they've been tracking. And it just so happens that Jake Gyllenhaal and his crew roll in instead?
Is that what happened?
Yes.
That's not what happened.
All the guys that got killed are the Brooklyn people, and they came and are helping Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, so it is a combination. It's a combo.
It's a combo platter.
That makes sense. What's your name? Thank you, Samantha. Give it up for Samantha.
Yeah.
Thank you, Samantha. I will say, this is a movie that I rewound more than any other Michael Bay movies because I was like, what did I miss? I do feel like that is a little hidden. Because all of a sudden you're seeing these guys get out and then it's a throwaway line. It's like, how the fuck did this happen? It's like, we thought we were trailing Brooklyn guys. Next, dog.
The
best part is that throughout the movie, they're like just unapologetic. Like, we wait.
Okay, yeah. I want to talk about the fact that they wait.
They wait with the big dog. And it's only because of the big dog that they pause the chase. And he's like, oh no, it's too dangerous. Now it's too dangerous.
Who brought my dog on a car chase? I think Garrett.
Listen, I want to talk about Nitro, if you're referring to Nitro. Yes.
By the way, just so you know, Nitro is Michael Bay's dog in real life. That is Michael Bay's dog. And
this is great.
And one of the quotes I have, this is just a great little side quote. The most stressful day on set was when they only had 20 minutes left of sunlight and they had to shove his 217-pound dog into a Fiat. Because when that came up, I was like, what movie is this? Like a little Fiat, the giant dog? I was like, is Inspector Clouseau getting out of this? We just watched people get brutally killed. It's like blump, bump, 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 ba da da da.
I got it. And then he's got jokes that are like, oh, we had whatever food last night, so the dog's taking smelly shits.
Yeah.
And then oh, also 72 pedestrians have been mowed down.
I do want to talk about the strategy of waiting on a bank robbery. Mm-hmm. Because I I rewound that part and I went back and tried to understand it a few times. So they would prefer to have these people rob the bank and put all of those innocent lives at risk. Mm-hmm. Because why exactly? Because they feel they have a better shot to
get
them.
They have a better shot of getting them with fewer casualties outside. And that's how SIS does it.
Yeah. So they've changed.
That's a direct quote.
They've changed. They've changed their strategy.
My writing is better than that,
they
would say.
They would have used, in the past, gone in guns blazing, but put people in danger and encourage the guys to take hostages. So they're saying, let them get the money, let them come out, and then get them on the way out, Heat style. And nobody says, everybody seems to understand all the movie references of all time, but nobody ever says, we have a Heat going on. We've got a Den of Thieves on our hands.
Yeah, I just wrote down this one thing which I forgot.
Oh, Den of Thieves was so good.
Oh, it's in the
Roxanne, come on.
Come on. I just watched that shit. That was so good.
It's the best.
We need a sequel to that movie. I'm all in. Have you seen Plane?
Yeah. Oh, please.
Well, now that we've...
Plane was incredible.
Week, and I am really into movies where the title is explicit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Plane.
And there's no fucking subtext.
I'm willing to
Plane.
Say...
So my wife and I sat down to watch Plane, and I was like, do you really think it's just about a plane? And she was like, I don't know. And then I was like, yeah, it is.
It's great.
It was a great night.
He's
and now
so
that we've
good.
Done Ambulance, I think we have to do Plane.
Oh,
how
yeah.
could you
and
not?
We should do a month of transportation themed.
Love it.
Movies. Movies that are about trains, planes
and
ambulances.
Honestly, this is why. So I saw Plane in the movie theater and I loved every second of it. But Movie of the year. But I was disappointed in a way because I thought I was going to get the experience from Ambulance.
That you got from Plane?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you why I think Plane is better. Not better.
Plane
but,
is better?
Well, wait, hold on. I feel like there. Well, you know what it is? It feels like, not better, but it's like it's streamlined. It's like, Michael Bay is going to camera, like the drones are going up, they're dive bombing down, we're flying through things. Like, Plane had $20 million and everything's on screen. It's like, we got
That's
80
true.
Minutes and it's going to go. Like,
no, Plane's greatest special effect is Jerry Butler.
Yeah.
And Ambulance's greatest special effect is Michael Bay.
100%.
Everything
yeah, that's
is
true.
The mayhem that is happening. That static scenes of two people talking, just either exposition dumping or whatever, that circular...
Oh, my God.
That camera that is just constantly circulating throughout the...
He loves that camera. I think he probably sleeps with it. Because
For sure.
That camera does so much work in his films. Like, Panorama.
Oh, yeah.
Panorama.
Oh, he loves diving in and out
around.
That's
crazy.
Creating momentum where there is none.
He basically, like, he...
Inside an ambulance, perhaps.
It is an insane... And I feel like he gets everybody on board to be like, let's do this crazy thing. Because there's stories about Jake Gyllenhaal is holding a camera, taping it, because there's not enough room in the actual ambulance. He's like, you're going to shoot this scene. I had a friend who was on Bad Boys 2. And he was just a regular actor, not a stuntman. And Michael Bay is like, okay, so we're going to do this chase over the Florida Keys. Just drive and shoot out the window at the same time. And he's like, I've never done anything like that. He's like, we'll fucking do it. And then they're doing it. And he came over to him and he showed him the monitor. He's like, you look like a wimp. You got to do this for real, man. And he was like, I don't know. He's like, he's racing a Humvee. Firing out the window, and I feel like, but he gets people in this zone where, like, Jake Gyllenhaal's hanging outside of a real ambulance. He's like, we got 10 minutes. Jake, fire in the air. We're going to get this. And, like, Will is driving. It's like, everyone is on board, and that energy is in the movie. I
am realizing that he named his, like, female love interest Cam.
Whoa.
Oh.
Just saying.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
layers.
Yeah.
June.
Yeah.
Wow.
I loved this moment in the film. And it's like there's a truck that is carrying plate glass.
Incredible.
And it seems like the guy decides to run away by running into it. And at the same time, he's shot. So it's like, bah-bah!
I felt like it comes in a moment where there's so much exploding glass. There's because of the Heat style gunfight that's going on. There's so much exploding glass, and I felt like Bay was like, there's not enough. What if there was a glass delivery truck parked in front of the glass building?
I do want to just briefly just go out here for 1 second and talk about Cam, who we introduce with the kid who's impaled. We watch this emotional scene. You as the audience feel like, oh my God, I've just watched a six-year-old be impaled by a spike.
I can be brave.
She passes, you know, she...
He knows how to get you.
She passes the kid to, like, emergency services at the hospital, and then she's like, hey, you want to go get enchiladas? And you're like, am I supposed to like this character? Like,
no, I think at the beginning, no. At the beginning, you're supposed to
think... See, it's so weird, because I think I have the wrong reaction to her. I think you're right, Jason, that that's her journey, right? That she's cold and not, like, connecting to what she's doing, even though she's so connected in the moment, but so cut off after it's over. But to me, I'm like, I don't want my trauma specialist to be stuck on yesterday's news. You know what I mean? Like, I want them to be fully present with me, pulling the things that are impaled inside my, you know, stomach out of me.
Pulling the wrought iron out of my guts.
I don't need them to be carrying that with them and litigating past. Yeah.
You know, the challenge is what you kind of brought up briefly earlier. She's like the only woman in the movie, except for the wife. And Michael Bay hates women. Ask Megan Fox. She has a lot of really interesting things to say about Michael Bay. And I'm sure many other actors do, too. Women are just meant to be beautiful and to sort of look bloody and sweaty but sexy.
And by the way, even at the end, after she's been through all that, like, somebody gave her a tissue because she looks ready to go, like, ready to go out.
Oh, yeah. After she's been held hostage and been in a 24-hour car chase, held at gunpoint, all of the events of the movie happened to her, she walks away from the crime scene, would never be allowed to do.
No question.
There would be...
Her get her bag and leave.
She leaves. She goes to the hospital to check on the impaled girl.
But it's the same hospital.
Also, why did she only steal one stack of money? What the fuck is wrong with people? Like, girl, take all the money and say that they dropped it somewhere.
Yeah.
Like,
at this point,
goddamn, you're an EMT and it's a noble profession, but you're making like $50,000 a year.
I think she didn't want to fall off the wagon and get back on that speed.
Oh.
When she dropped...
self-protection.
When she drops that she was on speed, again, Michael Bay has limited time for exposition, so we got to get it out quick. Yeah, I was addicted to speed. Anyway, pass me that. Wow, all right.
Okay.
I like a crackhead doctor.
I was like, this is fascinating.
I was just like, get back on the drug.
Yeah. And it gave me a, like, because I agree, like, and I feel like what's the Scorsese movie? Bring out the dead,
the Nicolas Cage one, right?
What's it called? That is Bringing Out the Dead. That, to me, she's in that world of, like, fucked up, this is crazy, we're in the juice of this is, I do the thing, and then I don't care. And the events of this movie are like, maybe I care. You know, but also give me that speed.
Well, I guess there's a difference between, like, being professional and also, like, not giving any bit of a shit. It's like, that's a six-year-old girl. It's like, hey, she's going to do okay. It's like, I don't want to hear about it. It's like, what? All right. Like, it just seemed a little too aggressive. It wasn't like, I don't, like, you know.
But then that set him up to be like.
If you're her, how do you continue to show up as your full self?
Right.
You got to compartmentalize.
If you're worried about, I was actually like,
is the moral of the story then that's bad? Because her arc is she does care. So she, then
I think
her
more,
arc is
more
that she'll be a better person
be
but
lost.
A worse professional.
Yeah. The movie means she's worse at her job.
Correct.
Because, by the way, she goes into the girl's room and the girl holds her hand and she's like, don't let go. Her response should be, where is your parent? Like, Cam should not be raising Lindsay, the impaled girl, who I'm certain doesn't have a gallbladder anymore.
Like,
what's
mom was
happening?
Like, the mom was like, I'm going to go home, do a quick shower. I'll come back in the morning. She'll be okay, right? She'll be alive? All right.
Speaking of showers, though, and this is something I think about in almost every movie and whenever I look at, like, NBA players hugging. The smell in that ambulance.
As actors and in real life, because this guy is bleeding out the entire time.
Okay, Zach has for sure shit himself.
Hindsight. of blood, and they never slip on the floor. Jake and Will and Cam are sweating, and then they open this poor dude up.
Oh, yeah. His spleen explodes?
They use a hair clip as a clamp.
And it works?
And she takes it from her disgusting, dirty hair. Doesn't, you know, like normally in a movie, like when they're doing like fake surgery, like in a restaurant with a penknife, she'll take some vodka and pour it on the knife to at least let us know this is gross, but I'm going to sanitize it. And then they take a sip of the alcohol and off we go. She did not even bother to take any rubbing alcohol in the back of this rig to fix her disgusting hair clip. She puts it in there. And then closes him up.
And he's fine.
Talking by the end of the movie.
He's fine.
My God, it's just so great.
He's in better shape than everybody else in the movie.
Absolutely.
He's like, I saw everything. I know what's up. And they're like, my guy, you have a banana clip in your body.
Yeah. And then he's like,
You've got a scrunchie in your body.
Did you have your hand in me? And she's like, oh, yeah, I was way in there.
And
she said, I'm up in his guts.
Yeah.
He's coming too. He's coming too. No, I'm up in his guts. What?
But the best, I mean, there's so many like best parts. When he comes to while they're like doing the banana clip like, sort of hand digging for the bullet situation before the spleen explodes, the guy wakes up and he just starts screaming.
Of course.
Which is the normal reaction. And then Yaya is just like, go to sleep.
Yes. He punches him. He punches
military
him.
Triage. Yep. That's what they do.
He punches him into unconsciousness.
Yep.
Which, if you remember, he previously has been driving, and he says, "You got to get up here and drive." I've been in this situation before, so he knows my value added is if this guy wakes up, I can punch him into unconsciousness.
Yes.
He's
basically a medic, and then he gets back there and he's like, I don't really know how to do anything but follow directions.
Yeah.
And punch guys out.
And it worked. Everything is working perfectly.
Well,
as we talk. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that just one more thing with the hair clip. It's interesting because in these movies, I did have the thought at one point, like, oh, Michael Bay is going to want her hair down. He's going to want to get her hair down.
Oh.
And the way he did it.
I love this. It's successful.
It was successful, and it was also like, wow,
and
could not have imagined that.
Oh, my God. You
could
know what?
Not
the
have
way
imagined
you can
that.
Read these texts.
Thank you.
No, she really is going deep.
I respect
deep
the shit out of this.
Ew. Because then her hair's down, and then she gets to sit. A few scenes later, she's sitting in the. There's so many of the flares that are going off, and sun is setting. But she's sitting in the front seat of the ambulance, and her hair, and she's so gorgeous, and she looks beautiful. And I'm like, we wouldn't have had this shot had she not gotten that hair clip out of her
Absolutely.
Hair.
Absolutely, the movie is structurally perfect.
By the way, it's fully a Chekhov's gun situation.
Yes.
Literally with the cop's gun. Like, they show you, cop's gun is on the... which is such an odd thing, because that guy's been on a
Like, he
a
didn't
cold
feel
gun.
It once? Just, like, in his back? Like, you feel when there's something hard pressing against your back.
This man has been shot in the stomach, and he's laying on a Glock while the thing's... Like, poor man. But we talk about hair... We talk about women. We forgot about my favorite character, the other woman in this film, the woman who is like running the control center.
Yes.
Oh, she's wonderful.
She's great.
She's wonderful.
Who is amazing and is introduced with,
her name Zhag?
What
is it?
Zaga.
I'm so sorry. I did forget about her, and she's...
I thought I had a clip. I don't have a clip. I only have this banter. Because there is good banter in this movie, and this is an example of the banter that you're going to get.
Are you from L.A., Special Agent Clark, with your suspenders and looking like you're 20?
20. No, Toledo.
Oh, great. Another tourist.
Okay, can we just skip over the whole I don't know shit, you fought in Vietnam speech?
How old do you think I am, man?
Look, I can help you here.
This is in the bank robbery. It's a hostage situation.
Oh, it's far worse than that, sir.
What?
The guy who held your paramedic out the back is named Danny Sharp. Danny's been robbing banks since he was 17. His father, LT, was a legend. Bonafide psychotic, killed 6 bank managers, 2 tellers in the 90s.
Well, tremendous. Well, he is causing a shitstorm.
Oh, wonderful, FBI. Oh,
we can run a mini war from in here. Plus, RHD can stagger our assets. Wade, tell D team to get ready. We're gonna trap this fucker.
All right, yeah, on the
Don't.
Bus.
That is a mistake.
Why?
Danny is a different breed. He could have easily killed your cop back there at the bank, but he didn't. All right? He is looking for a way out.
How do you know that?
We used to be friends.
Boom! Incredible.
Now, so you didn't put
the
that...
revelation.
Revelation.
Dun, dun, dun. But Paul... then at the very end, he's like begging Danny to like give himself up. I can't do anything more for you. I'm like, bitch, you haven't done shit for him the entire movie.
But also, what was Danny's plan at the end? Like, when Danny is trying to escape, I'm like, whoa, you were gonna hold Cam and just like exit the ambulance?
Oh,
like,
no, he says, I'm gonna kill you on live TV and then they're gonna kill me. That's what this is.
Okay, so that was his plan, was just to be like, it was a suicide.
That's why Will shoots him, because he doesn't want Danny to... Will
okay,
shoot
I thought
Danny.
I thought he had a bigger plan than that. Okay, I didn't.
I think that was it. I think he had gotten to a point of just like.
I think he knows he's
Bayhem,
beat.
Total Bayhem. Yeah. Just like, it's
well,
time to go.
Well, at a certain point, they have to be like, no one was getting out of this.
Yeah.
Even, he's like,
even
listen,
Will,
I got to release Transformers 4, so I Will, guess I'll shoot you and then they'll shoot me.
I mean, Will conservatively is going to jail at least for 30 years, right? Like, roughly, I mean, he
Will?
Was part of an armed bank robbery. Yes,
minimum.
He saved some people. But yeah, it's like, he's going to do some
Well, they
time.
Make a big deal of Zach not in the hospital, not identifying Will as the guy who shot him, even though Will did, and pointing to Danny instead.
Or, he no, still he
says,
was the
sorry,
driver.
He, says,
he said, this
a...
guy saved my life.
Yeah, he says, this guy saved my life. But Will is responsible for, I'm going to say, 200 deaths?
It would be a very tricky case to prosecute because he
Listen.
Has to get, but he also did this. Like, yeah, but he also killed like a bunch of people just trying to sell tomatoes on the side of the street.
Well, one of my favorite parts of the movie was when they do this inexplicable, incomprehensible switcheroo.
Okay. Yes. Please.
How
switcheroo.
Can we not? I mean, we have to go real deep on this.
I need. This is what. This is. What I need.
I love this.
To.
They should have just ran away when they were hiding
Why
under the overpass. Take the money and go, or like. Whatever, not like paint this ambulance green.
Why
also,
were they
also?
But
you
don't
have
cover
a situation
on top that they're using to identify us.
You but have what... a situation where they're like, let's flood the place with look-alike ambulances. Then they won't know which one we are. Also, paint ours green.
Why?
Wait,
that's
when
someone
that's the purpose.
Off the rails.
Yes,
I was
40.
In love.
45 seconds to paint an entire ambulance.
But Paul,
and the guy is so dumb that he's painting the glass windshield.
Yep.
But Danny wanted it blue. And oddly, like, my mind was buying that the green was like, oh, maybe it, like a green screen effect.
That's what
it wouldn't
I thought.
Read it. Yeah. But like, but he wanted it to be blue. But why did he want it to be painted at all?
I do not know.
I mean, because the idea
the
is...
The whole point is let's have there be 10 identical ambulances and they won't know which one
and
we are.
And one is sticking out like a ridiculous sword.
Okay,
sum.
We've got... Oh,
the
no, we've got 10 ambulances.
In.
And then one, like, shoddily painted green one?
Paul, you read that list of the things that Jake Gyllenhaal... that we know about Danny,
yeah.
And I don't think I heard you say that Danny was a criminology.
Oh, right, but he doesn't say that out loud, does he?
No,
he
but the other guy.
He doesn't say
it
out loud, but we know.
It.
Here's my question, and it did remind me, of course, of the Idaho killer, who is also a criminology major, but that's a whole other ball of wax. But
well, the guy's
a whole
say-
other thing. But here's my question, though, Jason, is he studied... So it's set up from our FBI agent as though Danny went to school and I guess grad school. I don't know.
Just school.
School? Okay. To learn what police and FBI would do in these scenarios so he could sort of get, you know, work on this from the inside out so he could really plan. I didn't see any of that.
Maybe
oh, no?
It might not have been a good school.
That's true.
I'm sorry. June, this movie goes completely according to plan for him.
But I
love when he's like, when he pretends to be the bank manager and he's like, hello. I'm like, yes.
I know,
he didn't have to answer that door.
Just say, no, we're closed.
Sorry, we have a private transaction
but
going
on. But that was actually,
get in here.
But you know what? That was an interesting moment. And again, I'm giving more credit to Bay than I thought I would. But that was an interesting moment where I was like, wow, what would you do? You know, a cop shows up. Can you just say we're closed?
Yes.
Yeah.
He tries.
I guess you could, but...
I love that we haven't seen any, like, we go in, I wonder if they shot it and then cut it, but, like, all of the robbery stuff has already happened. All of the taking over the bank,
got a great moment of the bank manager, like, standing like Howie Mandel on, like, Let's Make a Deal, like, here it is. Like, he just, like, he, like,
and
as
then he
if
goes,
he, like,
I'll get out of your hair.
Yeah.
Because
that's a man who understands that we are not family with the people we work with.
Yes.
Our job is our job.
Is a job.
And our friends and family are our friends and family.
I appreciate it. He's like, I'm not
it's
dying
not your
for
money,
this.
Man. Like, walk away.
Get out of
but
there.
But I think,
very healthy.
Again, I think Bay did that strategically like he did with the cop, which is we don't want these guys that we're going to follow for the rest of the movie that we do need to be on their side to a certain degree, we don't want to see them really scaring people.
There was a weird moment, like, with Jake Gyllenhaal, too, he's a criminology professional or studies that, like, constantly reveals himself. And he's like, hey, man, he's a Marine. He says that to, like, a man who's still alive that can ID them. There's no
they
covering
all
the
They all use
faces.
Real names all the time. Hey, Trent. Hey, this. Like, even though he has nicknames for people, Mel Gibson and whatever, he doesn't then use them. He continues to use everyone's real name all the time such that everybody's like, well, who's that? Will? I heard him say Will. Okay. Okay, that's his brother.
And when they're doing all that detecting with the weird FBI agent and the young woman who is waiting to go home to her dad's dinner and the guy with the dog. I'm sorry, names are not going to stay.
No,
with
yeah,
me.
These are tough names,
yeah.
too.
But
yeah, they're like,
I love
like,
how the guy with the dog kept saying, stop the car. And they would get out and have like an out fresh air chit chat.
Yes.
Every 5 minutes. And I'm like, you are never going to shut this down if you keep stopping for fresh air.
Yeah, fresh air, like, a cup of coffee, and like, traffic's going to start soon.
Yeah.
It's about to be rush hour in LA.
But see, it's weird because it's like they're chasing the ambulance, but they have everything at their disposal. So they have helicopters. Like, they don't need to be chasing the ambulance. It's like,
right.
Just put a plan in place and just stop it.
All the drones.
Yeah.
Like, just sit still.
Yeah, you don't need to be mobile. You don't need to be on its tail. There's no reason to. Now, here's one reason why. Because, again, I'm trying to figure out why this ambulance was painted the way it was painted, lime green. The ambulance might have been painted lime green because it's the same color as Ratchet, the Autobot from the Transformers film, which is a medical vehicle.
Huh? Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
What?
Again, Spots another over. Connection. But let's go to the audience here. And if you
have
a question,
I want to see if anyone else has thoughts on why that ambulance was painted lime green.
Okay, let's see. What's your question?
I couldn't figure out. Did they drive Will's wife to the hospital to watch him bleed out?
Right, she did show up at the hospital.
I had so many questions about that. Well, the crime scene was the hospital.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I see
at the
what you mean.
Very,
yeah,
very
I'm
end.
Sorry,
but
sorry.
What yes. I thought was fascinating about that was that she didn't put her baby in a car seat, which I couldn't help but notice. And then
but the car seat was there for the money.
Well, and then to see the cop run behind her with the car seat was so wild.
My assumption is in that sense, they're kind of like, we've got a hostage situation. We don't know what's going on. Maybe if we bring his wife, she can talk him down or something like that.
I mean, it's also just illegal to not put a baby in a car seat. So, yeah.
But given all the laws that have been broken,
sure.
I feel like they were probably like, eh.
Let's look
frankly,
the other way.
I was shocked that baby wasn't impaled.
there was a great, I also had this thought. and I maybe, the, I guess she wasn't using the car seat. When Cam does put the money in the car seat,
it becomes unusable as a car seat?
Yes. And I was like, that's why she has to continue to hold this baby, because now she's like, oh, I got to hold this baby and this car. Like, it became a burden as a parent, because yes. that money was yeah. so cumbersome. She couldn't, like, sneak it around. Like, yeah.
But again, another moment where I cried was when she was screaming, please help my husband. Don't let him yeah. die. Please. I cried during that. Moses Ingram from Obi-Wan Kenobi. Fantastic performance. Yeah. Every role in this movie is a home run actor.
That's
this
true.
Movie is fucking great. Thank you, Roxanne, for making us you do know, this.
You're welcome. I'm just so glad to meet someone else who can appreciate, like, true cinema. And I love, like, I don't know if Michael Bay intended it or not, but he really makes the cops look exactly as bad as they are, because, you know, Will is bleeding out and the guy is like, we'll get to him.
Yeah.
Will you? I don't know. Like, you're literally in front of the hospital and there's cameras everywhere.
I know. Well, I was kind of like, just move away. Someone else will.
Right? I'm like, okay, George Floyd's murderer. But, like,
yes.
We but see yes. what you're doing here.
Yes, your name and your question.
Pete,
the S-Man, here we go.
So we kind of talk about how inept the cops are in this, and it feels like this is the most inept police force ever in an action movie. But I think the one thing we forgot to talk about, the green truck, and when the guy's getting interviewed, that the green truck just rolls slowly in the background while the cops are, like, have this guy who is also paint. He has green paint on him, and there's just this green truck just going 10 miles an hour.
And nobody says, like, oh, we should be looking for a green truck because this guy has green paint all over him.
The movie fluctuates between people being hyper-observant, like a guy who's just been blown up, like, oh, who's that running? I guess I'll chase him. To, like, literally a bad guy, like, running next to him. Like,
well,
I wish I knew. I wish I had fed some
the
weed.
The thing that happens that's tough is Jake Gyllenhaal engages, like, the cartel guys who come in and boost everything up into insanity with explosive ambulances and the car that has the minigun and all that stuff. So everything ratchets up at that point into an insane level of chaos. And that's supposed to kind of saturate the world with chaos. And, oh, it's going to... But no, not really. Everybody's like, oh, no, you pull over. Okay, great, okay. But what they can't figure out is, well, now there's, like, a poorly spray-painted ambulance on the street? Maybe that's our guys.
It couldn't be. It just could not be.
It couldn't be.
No.
They don't explain why they... Like, there's six other ones. It's getting another... I mean, it just didn't make sense. Okay, yes, you're...
Or get in a fully different car.
Or just leave.
Why? Walk away. Walk away.
Get on two motorcycles with your money and take up... Leave Zach and Cam behind.
But is that the Achilles heel of, like, Jake, is that he wants to make sure that he sees the cop get healed? I mean, is that, like, it's, I don't know if that, like, is that a motivating factor for him?
No, but I think it is for Will. And that's even more curious because, like, when they're at the end where Will could basically just walk away because they're in the sort of quinceañera dress factory.
Yeah.
And... which, one of my favorite parts.
Like, more scenes need to be
away,
said.
And he's like, I'm not leaving the cop?
That is,
yeah, or like, you. Did he
and
mean
I,
his brother?
I don't want to see anyone lose their life ever. But, like, if you have to choose between you, yeah. a black man who fought for his country and will still get pulled over and maybe killed, or a cop who's going to probably be okay, like, come on, go.
Walk
take
away.
That money and run. Go for it. I mean,
it's $8 million. Jesus yeah. Christ.
I do love that scene that follows that, too. It's like the word, like, you know, it's like that thing where they're trying to create their plan in real time. It's like, why don't we just go left? Go left.
Go left with me.
We will go left.
You want to go right. I want to go left. Maybe we should both go left. Go left. Go. It's so stepped out.
It's like it would have been so much cooler if it was like, you've gone left, I've gone right. Oh, bam, bam.
Great, great, great.
No,
but it makes Poppy and his guys look like fucking idiots.
Yeah. After they manage to steal all the ambulances and then build the fucking Roto murder car, like yeah. RoboCop 2, yes. which that car was awesome.
Yeah.
And
What I loved about that RoboCop car in this was that they did have a dummy at the driver in the driver's room. Like, I just would like to have seen that guy. Like, oh yeah, this guy looks real enough. Like,
they were like, we gotta go to the Mythbusters office and steal their guy, that fake dummy that they're always blowing up. Adam Savage is like, what do you want from me?
You let us in on the plot here earlier. You told us about the Boston crew and the LA crew. So now, what is your name and your question?
Samantha. And my question is actually, so the relationship between Anson and Jake Gyllenhaal is never really, it's, they got drunk. Do you think there was maybe something more romantic underneath there?
I love that. Samantha, you get this movie.
Wow, she really does.
Yeah. You know what, Samantha? I have to say, first of all, were they sex friends? 1,000%. 1,000%. Because why else would Anson be so deeply invested? Like, don't die, you're the best dick of my life. And
better than my husband that I'm in counseling with.
Yes. And I mean, it's no wonder they're in counseling.
It would have been amazing if the husband was like, I don't feel like I'm exciting enough for you. Or if his complaints in therapy mirrored what Gyllenhaal could have given him.
That's a better movie.
Well, I mean, how could you not
and if the movie ended with them kissing?
Oh, I would have loved that. That would have been true romance.
Come on.
I would have loved that. I mean, how could you not fall in love with a man who could get a fire extinguisher white out of cashmere with really nothing?
Do you?
I mean, he, like, how much? That white goes, like, he goes from Joker to just back
smoke
to normal.
To smoker?
Just willpower. Clean my outfit.
Do you think Gyllenhaal is improvising?
Yes,
Jason.
Gotta be, right? Yep. Gotta
1,000%.
And by the way, killing it.
He's doing great.
But now thinking about this movie as him doing an impression of Michael Bay, it all makes sense. It's like, and he's like, yes!
Oh,
and a lot of screaming.
It's just radical.
It's call and response, yeah.
Radical enthusiasm. Yeah.
Did you see this clip? It was on Instagram.
No.
Like, you know, like, it's a basically, Michael Bay, whenever people are like, that's too dangerous, I won't do it, he's like, fine, I'll do it then. And he gets like on a, like he shoots his own stuff. And so there's a scene where that ambulance is coming through and he's on a rig and it's like he's shooting it and then like jumps off the rig because the ambulance crashes right through the camera. Like he's like, hey, we did it. Like,
I love it. I love it.
Oh my God. Could you imagine what his insurance costs are?
I wonder.
Well, obviously we have opinions about this movie, but there are people out there with, maybe a same opinion, honestly, because we loved it. It is now time for second opinions.
But the cop is bleeding out now. Cam is in the back now. Let them go. And I just can't look. It's surgery in Michael Bay mode. Ambulance in downtown Los Angeles. Coked up brothers reckless. The good brothers desperate. But it's for his wife to pay for her cancer surgery. Keep your critics to yourself, 'cause I give it 5 stars.
Amazing. Wow.
I love you, Roxanne.
Thank you. That was amazing.
All right. Ambulance has 14,000 reviews on Amazon. 63% are 5-star reviews. The average rating is 4.3 out of 5. This is a big, big, fun movie. And I'll start with Andrew Stebbins, writes this. Just because drive car does not mean mechanic. Just because watch sports does not mean athlete. Just because watch movies, ... I saw the trailer. I knew what it was. I like seeing what Michael Bay can do within his own style. The cast was 5 stars. No movie viewer will get what one desires, but I must remember I was born and raised in America. I support 1-star reviews because of freedom of speech, but 1-star reviews about this movie are wrong. This movie was great. I appreciate the efforts and the unique shots. I have not seen any other filmmaker attempt, like a drone underneath a jumping car, getting to see the underbelly slide horizontally from one side to the other. Appreciate over time average quality increase. A lot of humans forget how over time the quality of all stream movies have gone up. I will not let myself be spoiled. I will enjoy movies that have earned and contribute to the increase of streamed movie quality. 5 stars.
Oh my God.
Finally, a duo writes in, and Jennifer and Kevin. Jennifer and Kevin write, it only took me to the end to understand that this movie wasn't about the chase. It was about our human stories. The first movie I've liked in a very long time. No political messaging. It was colorblind. I got a unifying message and a message about the consequences for the choices we make. The title of this is called Humanity. And it's 5 stars.
Now, do you think that Jennifer and Kevin wrote that together, or Jennifer has an account that she's titled Jennifer and Kevin?
Oh, that's interesting. So kind of like help her like get like a more...
Yeah, like my parents' email account.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
We don't often do this, but we are going to read a third opinion. This is a 1-star review, and I want to read this one because it's pretty great. There's a lot of weird 1-star reviews. They're very political, and this one was great. It's like, okay, this one's, spoiler alert, this film production probably ran in the millions. The money spent was used to make LA police look like fools, losers, and buffoons. No offense to buffoons.
Car honestly, chase. Honestly, we are speaking so negatively about buffoons culturally.
Car chase after car chase through LA with hundreds of police cars and helicopters chasing ambulance down with no success. If you believe that, then you are a fool. I don't want to give away the end of the film, but I knew that liberal Hollywood scriptwriters would make it okay to give money to the poor wife. Money stolen from the bank, and
the
after
bank.
The people were shot, the wife needs an operation. So what? Many people are in that position.
Oh
don't revert
God.
To crime. The real lesson should be if you commit a crime, there's no reward. Also, how did the EMS worker carry all that cash? There was a truckload of police and FBI in the scene. They would have taken possession of that bank money. Another Hollywood, let's shoot a film and make a buck. The fools in the audience will buy any kind of junk. Sorry, but crime doesn't pay. 1 star. So angry.
Wow.
About this woman getting on a cancer operation.
Seriously, Josh Hawley needs to find something to do with his free time.
Oh my gosh. I know that we all recommend this movie. I want to tell you a couple things, though. One or two things about it. The helicopter chase sequence in the Los Angeles River was not in the script. Michael Bay came up with the idea over a weekend and shot it in 2 hours.
What happened that weekend? How did he get there? I want to know everything.
He shot it in 2.5 hours when a helicopter became available. But here's the thing. He couldn't hire stuntmen. So Jake Gyllenhaal was actually hanging off the side of the ambulance and shooting at the helicopters. And Yaya was driving. Yaya was streaming it to a friend as he was driving and said, this is the craziest shit I've ever done.
And it works. It feels visceral.
Michael Bay, on the first day of shooting, Michael Bay went up to a couple cops on the street and said, hey, you want to be in a movie? To which they agreed. And they used the opportunity to shoot, to create a roadblock, which allowed them to close the freeway for free instead of paying $400,000.
Bayhem.
Oh, my God.
This movie was a failure in the world like of the movie theaters because it was a budget of $40 million, which is kind of low. $40 million budget for Michael Bay, yeah. It was the budget. The opening weekend was only $8.7 million, and it grossed 22. Across the world, it made $52 million. Yeah. But this movie was beat by Moonfall, which we did here on the podcast.
Oh my
Fuck
God!
The moon.
When he becomes
Fuck
the moon.
Moon. Fuck the moon. Fuck the moon.
Great movie. Great movie.
Oh, actually, as a matter of fact, sorry, and Morbius. The movie came in 49, but this movie was beat by Morbius. So Morbius made more money than Ambulance.
Morbius, the Marvel one.
Yeah. I know. But let's go down the line. Would you recommend this movie, Jason?
Yeah, 1,000,000%. This falls into the same category for me as movies that we've done, like Face Off or Con Air, or this movie is fantastic. This is a blast, top to bottom, T to B. And a lot of it is both Michael Bay and I just rewatched Pain and Gain. I'm a sucker for Michael Bay, right? But and Bayhem, except for Transformers, which I'm a hard pass on.
I've watched them all in their breath.
Really? I haven't at all, and they drive me crazy. But I will say the movie works primarily because I think the performances are fantastic.
Yeah.
Everybody is great and making this movie. When what's the woman's name who's with Garrett Dillahunt?
Zaga.
When she says, it's a very expensive car chase right now. I was like, yes, this movie is the perfect amount of meta. It's everybody's commenting slightly, and they're referencing Michael Bay movies. That's it. Perfect. No notes. 5 stars.
Yeah, I have to say, I agree. I really enjoyed it. And once Lindsay, the 6-year-old, was impaled, and we showed it, and
we saw it.
I was like, once that happened, and we were inside that car, and there was that rough piece of metal sticking out of a 6-year-old's stomach, I was like, we're off to the races. You know, we are. From there on out, it was a really fun ride. And Nitro, and then when Nitro folded into the plot pretty seamlessly.
Nitro, Nitro has real Sergeant Meatball vibes.
Oh, he reminded me so much of our dog that I was happy to see him on the screen. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. I was just, it was fun throughout. 5 stars.
Roxanne?
You know, just classic cinema. I just love this sort of type of movie that when you read about it, you're like, no. that can't be real. That must be The Onion. Like, stop kidding around. But then you see the preview and you're like, oh, shit. They really made this movie. They really spent money, and like people made, like they did their little jobs and like together. So I love that. Like that everyone came together and was like, it's a paycheck. And yet, as you said, the acting was just 10 out of 10.
I'm
sorry, but like people were like, give me my Oscar. And the fact that it was overlooked.
It hurts.
It does. I'm a little bitter about it. I thought Zagza. I don't know why I'm having such a brain lapse. I thought she was incredible, and she deserved her own movie. I wanted just a bunch of one-liners and her amazing haircut, and the fact that she was, again, competence is sexy.
Yeah.
So I loved the whole movie up until they're under the bridge where it should have ended because they run away into the sunset. And then whatever. But still, the fact that they were like, you know what, we could end it here. But what would really improve it is to paint the ambulance green in such a way that we're not hiding the 3 on top that they've used to identify us all along. And let's just kick this for another 45 minutes and see what happens.
Honestly, I would have taken 45 more.
I would have too.
If
they had the courage to do the stupidest thing possible and then end the movie like in the most ridiculous way possible where, like, there's no reality where this would have happened. But let's commit. 5 out of 5.
Yes.
Absolute excellent film.
I can't. Yeah. I know. And I know you brought it up before, but I really want to drill down on you cannot. The best, the movie in microcosm is contained in the scene in which they are using FaceTime to conduct surgery in the back of the ambulance.
Yes.
They have
her playing golf
while
a three-way call.
With her ex-boyfriend doctor and two specialists who are on a golf course. The ambulance is going 60 miles an hour. She's reaching into the guy's guts, holding his aorta, trying to find his spleen, all this crazy nonsense. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of it all, she uses her hair clip to suture or whatever, the spleen shot or to stop the bleeding. And then it works and they go, they just
and they
laugh.
FaceTimed onto like she had like an iPad just back there
and Wi-Fi
FaceTime call.
You know what's interesting? I did think this at the very end. Like only one person called Zach ever, and that was the police. Not a single other person in Zach's life after his face.
Zach is unloved.
Yeah. His face was plastered across the news. I mean, people knew that he was a hostage. Not a single person sent a text.
You know what?
Also,
the teller, Tina, the fact that she didn't even come to visit him, that was an oversight on Bay's part. Like, let's bring this full circle.
Yeah.
And she says, you know what? I will go out on a date with you once you get the banana clip out.
She's like, I will date you as long as you have a spleen. And he's like, oh, no. It exploded.
I will tell you this. I'll give it 5 stars. This is a thank God it's got made. A return to form for Michael Bay. Yes, I like Pain and Gain, but I'm going to say not since Bad Boys 2, 2003, have we seen a level of Michael Bay in this. Like, Six Underground is fine, whatever. But, like, Pain and Gain was fun, but I feel like it wasn't fully, like, Michael Bayed out. And I feel like I'm excited to see this. I hope he makes more movies like this.
I would like for this to be the beginning of, like, I want to know more about these people. Like, give me more movies.
Well, that's what's happening with Plane. Plane is doing a
Train.
Sequel.
Stop.
Oh, yeah.
Roxanne? Oh, no, it's Boat. Isn't it called Boat or Ship?
Yeah, it's Ship. It's Boat. Yeah,
I'm not going to cry.
It's... It's Mike. It's
sure.
The Mike Coulter character's story. So I don't know if I assume Gerard Butler won't be in it, but
maybe
it's his story, and I believe it's called
Ship. It's called Ship, and it's going to be Mike Coulter's story. And yeah, I think it's him escaping. I feel like that would be the.
Oh,
thing.
That's going to be awesome because he's so hot. And I mean that's of course the primary criterion, but other than that, also Boat.
Yes.
Yeah. So Ship will pick up where the storyline left off in Plane.
Oh, so it's not a prequel.
No,
it's,
with the Legionnaire disappearing into the jungles of Jolo Island. It's not clear whether or not Butler will return for the next film.
Oh, he will.
Anything you want to plug, Roxanne? You have so much. Anything you want to tell anybody to follow you or do?
10-10-23, I have a book called Opinions.
Ooh.
Coming out. We're working on the subtitle right now, but I think it's A Black Woman's Opinion, something like that. It's going to be better than that. But it's called Opinions, and it's out on 10-10-23. So pre-order
that.
Links.
Will there be a chapter dedicated to ambulance?
There will be now, obviously.
By the way,
transcription of this podcast.
We need to have you come back. Now that we have Fast and Furiouses, we have Hobbs and Shaws, we have Ships, we have Planes, we have to have you back.
Isaac Gonzalez from this movie in Hobbs and Shaw.
You have to have me back.
And truly, like, thank you, because it's you that said, I want to do Ambulance, so we are doing it. Because this was
Thank you, Roxanne.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you for humoring me.
It was great. It was great to make you, like, we were excited about it because we've been sitting on it for a while. We knew that you wanted to do it, so we were like, we're going to hold it. We're going to hold it for a good live show, and so this is it. Jason, June, anything you want to plug?
No. I'm trying to think.
I'll plug a couple of podcasts that I was recently a guest on that I thought were great. TV I Say with Ashley Ray, absolutely fantastic TV podcast. And then Two Johns Don't Make a Right, which is our friends John Schrader and John Daly driving around Los Angeles not making right-hand turns.
I've been on it.
It's an absolutely bananas podcast. And we did it at night. Two Johns Don't Make a Night? We'll see.
It's really, really fun. I want to call out a great show that you should be watching. It's called Grand Crew. It's on Peacock.
So
it's on
funny.
NBC. Nicole Byer, Carl Tart. Really, really great. And if we're talking about podcasts, I want to call out this podcast called Valley Heat, which is a comedy podcast about a guy who lives in the Rancho Cucamonga district of Burbank, or like the equestrian area of Burbank, who thinks that there's drugs being trafficked in his neighborhood. It's just go find it. It's great. Valley Heat. And it's a really a very funny podcast. So that's what I will plug there. And thank you to you, the Largo audience. Thank you for coming out here tonight.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you to our amazing team up in the booth. Thank you to Largo. Thank you to everybody for coming out here tonight.
We did it!
Thank you, everybody, for listening to this week's episode of How Did This Get Made? Make sure you check out Valley Heat and Grand Crew, which we talked about last week on Last Looks with our good friends Phil Augusta Jackson and Carl Tart. Also, make sure you check out your Largo schedule to see when How Did This Get Made is coming to you live, or you coming to it live, because it will only be in LA. And also where you can see me, Phil, Jason, and Carl all do improv with a group we like to call Dinosaur. People, thank you for listening. We'll see you next week on Last Looks. Please bring your questions, your concerns, your comments. I know you have them. Just give me a call at 619-PAULASK. And you know what? Check into our TeePublic store where you'll see the latest in our merch. And stay tuned because a summer tour announcement is coming. Oh, yes, it is. But this show, what you're listening to right here, couldn't be done without a couple of things. First of all, you listening, but more importantly, I'm talking about the amazing producerial work of Scott Sani, Molly Reynolds, and our movie-picking producer, Avril Halley, our engineer, Alex Gonzalez, and our publisher, July Diaz. People, they make the trains run, and we love them. So, we will see you next week for Last Looks, and until then, bye for now. How did this get made?